don't have to work and slave. Let electricity do it for you. You can have your...
3-1-1-0. Main event of the evening.
Wednesday and half past the hour.
Johnny Jupiter, a human, more or less. Major Domo, chief of the robots, and Reject, the factory rejected robot.
Hey, hey, what's up? It's Zisu back again. Beast Society Podcast. We talk TV, movies, comics, collecting, sports, and everything entertainment. This is episode 73. Today we'll be talking about our favorite superhero TV shows. But before I go any further, he's a lawyer by day, vigilante by night. You might know him as the devil of Hell's Kitchen. It's the Nez!
Yo, what's up, everybody? Yeah, we're back with the quickness. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the little surprise we threw at the end of the last episode. But if you don't know what that is, go back to the very end and listen to it. So this was an idea that I came up with today. I was dropping my son off at school, and I started listening to just random music on my phone, and the Smallville theme song came on, and I was like, man, we should do a show on just favorite superhero TV shows. So that's what we're going to bring to you guys today. What do you got to start us off?
What do I got to start us off with? It's weird. It's definitely not the first comic book TV show that I've watched, but it's the first one that comes to mind is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Been running for years now. And I was just so excited that we were getting an MCU show that was supposed to connect to the movies. Well, it didn't really follow through on that. It's had its ups and downs, and I've enjoyed it along the way. How much did you get to watch of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Just a few episodes here and there. I think the last one I saw was the Ghost Rider one. And
I'm
used to the Ghost Rider on the motorcycle. Not so much those movies, but the comic books. I always love that character. But I was excited when I first heard that Ghost Rider was going to be on there. So I was expecting the motorcycle, and then we got this car, and I was kind of like, okay. But
I think my favorite thing they did, and it's been so long, I don't think anybody would mind the spoiler because it's been so many years in the movie. But when the movie they did tie into was Winter Soldier, and I'll just give another warning just in case you don't want to be spoiled with what happened with Winter Soldier and how it affected S.H.I.E.L.D. Basically, the idea was in Winter Soldier was that Hydra had infiltrated S.H.I.E.L.D. and had kind of, been underneath for years and then finally comes up and it kind of breaks S.H.I.E.L.D. apart. And the movie affected the TV show. All of a sudden, the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents were without, all the resources they once had. And I really love that. That was some of the best stuff they've done. So I don't know if you were watching it live around the time when Winter Soldier aired, but that was pretty amazing how, like, 1 week it was S.H.I.E.L.D., and then the next week the movie came out, and all of a sudden the week after that it was a completely different show.
No, I had to do a little reading, because when I heard that Winter Soldier was tying into the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I was like, okay, well, I want to at least kind of get what was going on. So I went and somebody had a little breakdown of it, and I just read that before I saw the movie. Winter Soldier was actually a movie that I wasn't even going to see. I was just going to wait because I think I mentioned this story before. But anyway, if you guys are new listeners, hey, welcome. That first Captain America movie, I was kind of like, it was all right. And then so that's why I wasn't expecting much with the second one. But everyone kept telling me, dude, you got to see it. You got to see it. It's way better than that first one. So I was like, all right. So it was actually the last night it was playing at the theater I went to, because it was on a Thursday night. And the next day everything was changing over. So I said, all right, I'll go see it. I went and saw it, and I heard about the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. crossover, so I did the reading on that. But when I went and saw that movie, I was like, damn, I was blown away. It's probably one of my favorite Marvel superhero movies right now.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, they really stepped up the game for that one. Short side note, we can talk more about this on another episode, but hearing really good things about Thor Ragnarok. So they say it's a really fun movie, and Thor done the right way. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, definitely. Well, more on that once it comes out, because that's me. I was a huge fan of the movies. Was never really that much of a fan of the TV show, or not TV show, the actual cartoon, and or not the cartoon, the comics, and, or just the character Thor. But when these movies came out, I'm like all on board now.
Right. Speaking of Thor, its connection to S.H.I.E.L.D., that was actually the first movie to come out during season one. The Thor the Dark World came out in November. S.H.I.E.L.D. started in late September. So I remember thinking like, oh, cool, like we can count on, you know, a crossover with Thor the Dark World. And when that movie came out, I remember the first thing being like, oh, yeah, like we're going to see some characters. And then it ended up not really being, they ended up doing more of like a cleanup crew for like what happened in London towards the climax of the Dark World. So that's why I was so impressed with what they did with their connections to Winter Soldier, because I was like, I wasn't actually, after that first movie, I was like, oh, they're only gonna like semi connect, like, oh, this thing went down and now we're gonna clean up. But overall, like I was just saying, ups and downs with S.H.I.E.L.D. I actually fell off with last season, the Ghost Rider season. I think I need to catch the final like five episodes, and while I was quickly trying to write up the intro to this episode, I noticed it comes back December 1st, so a little over a month till it returns.
Right on. Yeah, I still need to just sit down and watch it. I know it's all streaming on Netflix, so I'll eventually get to it.
Right. Well, I definitely want to talk about some of the Netflix shows, but before we get too far away from it, why don't we get right into Smallville, your inspiration? Because was one of the first comic book TV shows, right?
No, not really. I mean,
not like if you count like Batman, the original. But
well, that's what I was going to start off with.
Right.
I mean, my introduction to superhero TV shows was actually Batman. The Batman 66 series that ran from 1966 to 1968. And this is with the real OG Batman, Adam West. I don't know. It was just one of those shows that came on after school. And I knew who Batman was. I was already reading the comic books, and I was a huge fan of his, of the character. And then just... sweet, a live-action Batman TV show. I mean, it was cheesy and hokey and all that, but, I mean, it was my childhood, and I loved it. I mean, I just loved Adam West, Burt Ward, and the real Joker, Cesar Romero, and Penguin, Burgess Meredith, and Julie Newmar as Catwoman, and then there was numerous other gals that played Catwoman. But this show, it's just a fun show. It's goofy. Batman dances, and they got the bang boom and the pow and the bat shark repellent.
That
Kent came at us with the movie, and Bruce Lee popped in it. Green Hornet and Kato were on there for a second, and it was just such a fun show. I loved it, man. I mean, it was, if you really sit there and think about it, it was a violent show with all the fighting and the bombs and all that, but I mean, they never really got super graphic or anything. So it was just a fun little TV show that I just loved, that I watched every day after school. And I still watch it today. I do want to pick up that whole box set, but it's pretty pricey, the Blu-ray one. And I didn't start picking. I was late on the Batman 66 comic book series. I didn't even know that was out. So, and then when I went to the comic book store, usually I just go walk in, grab Walking Dead and walk out. But one day I just started looking around and I saw that there was a series and I was like, shit, they were already way up into the who know, the double digits, maybe triple. I don't know. Whoever's a fan of whoever collects that series. 'Cause I'm not sure. I know I went and looked up what the price of number one was, and that's pretty pricey. I didn't really look into to see if there is a paper trade of just from the beginning of that series, of that run. So if there is, I'll just pick that up and read it. And I did love this TV show. I had the little 6-inch, 7-inch dolls or whatever, those ones. Who made those?
Was it Mezco?
Yeah, Mezco, those ones. I mean, I think it was Mezco. Someone's probably yelling at me. But whatever the OG ones were that came out back in the day, in the 70s and everything, I had those. My brother had some. And they're making a comeback. I know they're out there every now and then. Comic-Con, usually I see an exclusive one or everything, but the original ones, they're super pricey, especially if you have all the accessories that came with them. But Batman 66, I love this series, and it's just awesome. If I was ever to get a Batman tattoo on me, it would be this Batman logo from the TV show. I've always liked that the best. I need to get that on a T-shirt. I see all these other Batman T-shirts and everything, but I rarely see this one. Well, rarely see it in my size. I know it's out there, but yeah, Batman 66. That's the show I'm going to start off with because I just love it. And whenever it happens to pop on TV every now and then, I remember it was on TV Land or one of them retro channels. It was on, and I was watching that. But you can go on YouTube if you younger listeners have no idea what I'm talking about. Just go on there. I'm sure it's on YouTube.
Right. Did you see they made Funko Pops of that era of Batman? And one of them is Batman and Joker 2-pack with surfboards, the surfing competition episode.
I've seen those.
That's pretty great. I love those. I think they also have Classic Riddler, Classic Penguin, King Tut, Catwoman. Off the top of my head, was Mr. Freeze in the original?
Yeah, he was. No, that was Vincent Price was Egghead. Oh, jeez. I want to say there was a guy.
Poison Ivy, right?
There was a Mr. Freeze. Okay, see, he was bald, so I was thinking of Egghead, which was right. What's his nuts. Vincent Price. Okay, I'm looking on it. There's a George Sanders and an Otto. Yeah, it looks like two guys played Mr. Freeze. The one I the first one was Otto. Shit, I can't. These last names. Preminger, I think that's his last name. He was Mr. Freeze, the guy I remember. I want to say there was another dude, too. I don't remember. But, yeah, the first Mr. Freeze, yeah, that's the guy I remember. But
right.
That when those ones came on, I don't think he was on many I could be wrong. I mean, I'm pretty sure I've seen them all. But I can't remember how often Mr. Freeze came back onto the show other than, I mean, Joker and Penguin and all them were pretty much right. In all of it. But every now and then they popped in some of the OG classic, the bad guys. So,
right.
But I mean, I liked the whole when they had the costumes of these, and especially like Mr. Freeze. He looks like he just has a space suit on. But
right
for the 60s, it was awesome. Not so much the Arnold Mr. Freeze and everything, but
even though that's what they were trying to invoke with that. They were trying and somehow it didn't hit with anybody. It didn't please fans of the original series. It didn't please new fans. It's hard to find people that are really like that one. But speaking of Batman, did you ever watch much of the Gotham TV series that's running right now?
None of it. I haven't. But it's my buddy keeps telling me, dude, you got to watch it. It's really good. Just he says it was kind of slow in the beginning, but he says it's starting to pick up. Yeah. So I'm like, all right, now I got to go back and start over. I think it's on one of these. I think it's on Netflix.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. I also haven't watched it, but as far as I know, just from like commercials I've seen, it felt like the first season was all about a young Commissioner Gordon. Two, it looked like they got more into like the villain side, and they followed a young Penguin more. And then I'm not sure what season they're on, if it's like 3 or 4 or even 5, but the commercials I've seen recently looks like they've decided to go and follow more of the young Bruce Wayne on the street, almost like in the style of what they did with Spider-Man Homecoming with the homemade suit. We've got a young Bruce Wayne with like the homemade bat suit, just like black kind of pants and hoodie and stuff like that. So I don't know. Could be interesting.
I know they change up the storyline with all these TV shows, but I don't remember Bruce Wayne doing anything like that while he was a kid. But
right,
hey, it's a TV show. You gotta make up your own storyline. So I get it.
Exactly. But yeah, I'm really curious to hear what you have to say if you want to get into Smallville, because I know you're a huge fan of that. Going back first Comic-Con, I remember hearing you talk about it.
This show, it started in 2001 and it ended in 2010. So it went 10 seasons. The first 5 seasons were WB before they changed it over to the CW. I have no idea what the C stands for. But this show, I remember my buddy Pete was like, really, oh, man, you got to watch it. It's good. It's good. And I'm like, I gave one episode a shot, and I can't remember what season it was. It was whenever The Flash came onto it. The Flash was a young kid, and I was like, oh, really? I just watched that one episode, and I thought it was just stupid. And I said, I don't remember any of this. So he was like, dude, he goes, you just got to just take it for what it is. So he gave me the first season on Blu-ray, and he goes, here, just watch it. At least watch this season. And let me know what you think about it. So I was like, all right, whatever. So I got home, I threw it in, and I was like, okay. I mean, I like the characters and who's in it. So I was kind of like, all right, I'll give it a few episodes. But I think like by the third episode, I was hooked, and I had to see where it was going and what was gonna happen. I mean, I put it in my head that I knew it was all gonna be wrong. So I'm just going to enjoy it for what it is. And man, this show was awesome. I loved it. I loved how it did bring in some of his villains, like the younger versions of him. We had the young Lex Luthor that was played by Michael Rosenbaum. He was actually pretty good. I did like him. He was real just evil and sinister. I liked his character. But the guy that played Clark Kent was Tom Welling. He was really good. He's a good-looking guy. He was in shape. I liked him as the young Clark Kent and Kal-El for when he was later. And then he had a little sidekick with him who was my favorite on the whole series. Her name was Chloe Sullivan. This was played by Allison Mack. Oh, my God. I love her. She was my favorite character in the whole series. Lois Lane didn't pop into it until later on in the series. That was played by Erica Durance. I remember it was Chloe and Lex, he was in it, and there was a guy named Sam Jones. He was a black guy, black actor. He played Pete Ross, and it was pretty cool, man. I like that. And then all of a sudden, I can't remember what happened to Pete's character. And he didn't die or anything, or at least I don't remember. I want to go back and watch the whole thing all over again, but he just kind of faded off the show. But I did like the parents, Martha and Jonathan Kent. Martha Kent was actually played by Annette O'Toole. She was what's her face in Superman 3? Lana Lang. She was that character, and then she came on board with the show. And I think the reason why they picked her was because she knew a lot about the whole Superman character and the comics and everything. So they said it was really cool to bring her in, because we all knew her as Lana from Superman 3. And John Schneider, we all know him. Bo from Dukes of Hazzard, he was really good. And we all know the outcome of Jonathan Kent when he passed. And I remember when that happened on the show. Like, I knew it was coming. Because right. He's been pretty big on the show. But when that happened, I was like, oh, man. It just got me. It was still... I knew it was coming, and it was still sad, but it was still a good show. Lana Lang was actually played by what the hell was her name? She was I know she was Chun-Li in that one last Street Fighter movie. Kruk, I don't know. I can't pronounce her last name. I think she was like half Asian in this go around. She wasn't Annette O'Toole. this show was good. It was teeny bopper type of show. It's probably one of the, I mean, if you know CWWB with all those shows with the Riverdale type things. Speaking of Riverdale, I tried. I couldn't do it. I just didn't. I mean, I know Jade loves the show, but it's more for her demographic.
Right.
And I tried just mainly because I was a fan of Archie and the lovable Riverdale gang. But I think what made me mad about that show is how they're portraying Jughead. He's not how he was. He's not Jughead. I like the actor. Well, that one of the little Zack and Cody. I don't know which one he is. One of them, and they had to dye his hair. But I just, I couldn't do it. I tried, and I don't know.
They did an edgy for all of them. All of them. The Archie, the Betty, Veronica. They're all edgier than they really are.
Yeah, so. Man, I don't know. I just couldn't do it. I want Jughead with the crown. And eating hamburgers and all that all the time and not caring about girls. And this is a totally different take on the whole Riverdale thing. And I understand that, because with all the new different Archie series, I mean, we got Archie fighting the Predator and Archie and Jughead's dead in Afterlife with Archie. And I think there was a gay character. I can't remember his name and all that. So I see what they're doing. They're not the Archie that your grandparents or your parents grew up with the comics, which I love. That's how I fell in love with the whole Riverdale gang. But I did give that show a watch, and I don't know. I couldn't do it. I think I can read the comic book stories. I like what they do there, but I don't know. I mean, it is CW, and I know what they do with their TV shows.
Right.
It's not for my age range. So I'm just like, hey, man, it's for the younger generation. That's fine. This is your show. Back to Smallville, this was kind of like that. It was kind of, the young adventures of Clark Kent. Not he wasn't Superman until the very, spoiler alert, until the very last episode of the whole series. But, I mean, I think I got sucked into the characters of this. Who knows? Maybe if I just stomached and got through Riverdale, I would probably enjoy it. But I gave it a couple episodes, and I was like, ugh, I couldn't do it. But I don't know. Who knows? We'll see. What's it, second season now?
Yeah, second season right now. And just a heads up, not that this would sell you or anything, but he does like eventually wear a beanie that looks like a crown, and he does start to enjoy burgers, from what I hear.
All right.
they do work on that.
I'd like to see his beanie crown, because if it looks dope, maybe I'll get one. Because I've always loved Jug. I know we're supposed to be talking about superheroes, but I've always loved. I always loved Jughead's his little crown that he wore in the comic books. But
right.
Yeah, he got killed in Afterlife with Archie, and he got killed in Predator. Predator and Archie.
Sounds like they're not a running joke.
There was no love for Jughead. So
right.
Hopefully he stays alive in this TV series. But Smallville, awesome show. I loved it. I was sad. There was a few episodes in this one I was sad, but probably is when Jonathan Kent died. That was really sad. And I teared up when Clark Kent finally becomes Superman. They actually don't show him in the suit. When they show him flying around, it's like super fast. All you see is this blue streak in the sky and everything. Everybody wanted to see him in the suit, but we didn't get it. I was kind of mad. Like, why did they show him? But then I was like, just leave it to your imagination. We already know. They actually used the suit from Superman Returns, the one with when Brandon Routh was Superman, Bryan Singer's Superman, because there was I can't remember, it wasn't that final season where they showed him the suit, that this is going to be your suit, and he had it in his Fortress of Solitude. So I think when he finally realized that he knew who he was and who he had to be is when he put the suit on, but we never saw it. So the whole series was good. I really enjoyed it. I know the stories were all wrong and everything, and they even brought in Doomsday at one point. I didn't really care for that, but it's an awesome series. It was cool to hear and see some of the old Superman alumni that popped in. I remember the original Jimmy Olsen. He popped in. I want to say he did. I know. This was really sad. Christopher Reeve popped onto the show. He was a professor that told Clark who he was when he finally, because there was all these symbols in this cave and everything that Clark was, he found, but he was unsure of what it was. But this college professor figured it all out, and he knew, and he goes, if you want to know who you are, you need to come see me. So he went to this university, and when he walks in the room, there's Superman in a wheelchair. I was like, oh, my God. I mean, I was so happy, but it was sad. To me, Christopher Reeve is Superman. Everyone else is imposters. But
right.
it was happy to see him on the show. Margot Kidder popped in a couple episodes. Like, she was, I can't remember, that's Lois Lane from Richard Donner's movies. But it was cool to see them pop in. And what's his name? He was General Zod in Superman 2. He was Chancellor Valorum in...
Menace.
What the hell? Yeah, what the hell was his name?
Terrence Stamp?
Yeah, him. He was Jor-El in the series. He wasn't... they never showed him, but they showed... you could hear his voice. Oh, and... what's her name? Supergirl from the movie. Helen Slater. She was Supergirl in the Supergirl movie. She popped in, and she was Clark's or Kal-El's mom. Jeez, what the hell was her name? I can't remember Superman's real mom, not Martha. That was, fuck. But anyway, it was cool to see all these people that we've seen in the movies and its TV show pop onto this, and it was really cool that everyone embraced this. I mean, cool. But when Christopher Reeve was on the show, that was awesome. And when he had passed, they wrote it into the story that that this professor, he had passed away on the on, like, they didn't show it on the show, but they said when Clark wanted to go talk to him, they said, "Oh, I'm sorry, he had passed away." And they dedicated the show to Christopher Reeve. They also dedicated the show to Margot Kidder when she passed, and it was cool. I mean, the show, it's all totally wrong, but it was an awesome 10-year run. I actually didn't start watching it until season 6, I believe. No, it was the season 5 is when I started, when I actually got to see it as it was airing every week. So from 5 all the way to 10, I watched it all the way. But the first 4 seasons I watched on a DVD. So I was happy that I got to enjoy that TV series. And I was sad when it was all over with, but I thought it was a good wrap up to a good series. I went, Tommy and I went to the last panel at Comic Con, and they were all there, and they were talking about, yeah, it's going to be sad when the show's over with. And but they were happy that everyone enjoyed their show. They said they had a rough start trying to get people to watch, but then once everybody was on board, man, it went 10 years. So. I'm not sure if this is the longest running series that the WB, the CW had. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's got to be close. If not,
yeah,
it probably is. 'Cause that's a while. That's a good chunk.
Yeah.
Even other popular shows like, non-comic book based ones, the, Pretty Little Liars and stuff like that. I don't think that's gone 10. So yeah, probably Smallville.
Yep. Awesome show. If you guys haven't, I'm sure it's on demand on one of those CW sites. I think it's on Hulu, I believe. I'm not too sure. I remember I have all the streaming sites, and I get them all confused. So I know I saw it on one of those, but it's on there.
The new series, Supergirl, the first episode of that, the setup had a couple of the actors from Smallville, right?
It had Dean Cain from The Adventures of Lois and Clark.
And it was.
And it had Supergirl, Helen Slater. She was actual Supergirl's mom. And I only saw the first few episodes, and Supergirl, Superman actually dropped her off as a baby to this family that he knew and trusted, and it was Dean Cain and it was Helen Slater. I don't know if they ever came back onto the show, but I know they were on that first episode, and it was cool to see them. Dean Cain was Superman, and Helen Slater was Supergirl, as well as Superman's mom, or Kal-El's mom in Smallville, so I thought that was awesome.
Right. Yeah, the first season of that aired on CBS, and then when they decided to let it go, I guess CW picked it up to put it with their other shows, Flash and Arrow and Legends of Tomorrow. I know we don't really keep up with those, so you want to talk real quick just about those in general, those shows?
I just don't watch any of them, so I have no idea. The reason I didn't watch Arrow is because I was fond of Justin Hartley from Smallville. He was Green Arrow on that show. So
okay,
I think I was. That's when I remember them saying, "Yeah, there's a Green Arrow show coming on." I was like, "Oh, sweet, maybe it was going to be Justin." But then when I started seeing all these billboards and posters, this is all when I was down in L.A. before it came on. I was like, that ain't Green Arrow. So I refused to watch it, and I have yet to sit down and watch any of it.
From what I've seen, that's another show, Arrow. One is far along now. I think they're on like season 5, 6, maybe even 7. They're way along. Flash has 3 or 4 seasons. Legends of Tomorrow has 3 or 4 seasons. So yeah, there's a lot of material there, and yeah, I've fallen off on all of it. Supergirl, we watched about half the first season, and small spoiler alert for that, it's nothing that big. They eventually did reveal Martian Manhunter on that show as a kind of main character, so that was kind of cool. And I didn't watch any of the second season, but I couldn't help but see they eventually cast a Superman to be in that second season, and they had Supergirl, Superman adventures episodes and whatnot. So maybe one day, but yeah, I mean, as far as that CW DC universe, man, there's a lot. There's a lot there. And they started, I mean, this is fun, but they started interconnecting. Like Flash would appear on Arrow, Arrow on Flash. They both were on Legends of Tomorrow. So same thing. They were on Supergirl. I think there was like a 5-episode thing where they all kind of teamed up. So, I mean, they're doing good things, but yeah, I'm just so far behind on all of it.
Yeah, I just, I don't know. I just kind of, after Smallville, I couldn't get into those other ones. But plus, they were just, I mean, other than what why I explained about Arrow, but Flash, I was never really that big of a fan of, so I just kind of had no interest. And when Gotham came on, that's Fox, but I was just kind of like, eh, there's no Batman, so I'll leave it alone. But as far as the CW, yeah, they have all these shows. I mean, they're obviously good because there's an audience for them.
Right.
You go to conventions, and especially San Diego Comic-Con, everybody loves all that. And you can't even get into the panels because people sleep overnight to get into them.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's CW, man. It's I know they gear it more towards the younger kids, but I don't know. I mean, it's good to see superheroes on TV. I mean, I like that. Pretty much every network has, well, not every network, but most of the big networks have some kind of superhero thing. I mean, right now, what we got Inhumans and all that on ABC, Fox has the Gifted, and what's this other one coming on? Oh no, FX. What's that one you were watching?
Oh, Legion.
Legion. And yeah. CW has got, they're all theirs. I mean, they're all Warner Brothers stuff. So I mean, it's good to see that it's on there. And there's plenty. It's not for everybody, but there's,
yeah, there's something for everybody.
I mean, especially when we were growing up, it was rare. If we had. I don't, maybe in the 80s, I don't think there was any kind of superhero TV shows on. I mean, we had
A-Team.
No, like superheroes, like Marvel or DC.
Yeah, I'm saying that was not nothing like Marvel, DC, but yeah, like the closest you would say is like things like Fall Guy, Knight Rider, things like that. But those weren't even based off a original comic, so... Yeah.
The older generation, when I say older generation, before us and after us, I mean, our kids now have all this stuff,
right.
Comic books being everywhere and comic book movies coming out like a ton of them every year. In the 80s, we
didn't used to be. Yeah.
No, all we had were Batman movies that popped in every now and then, Superman, and that was it.
Right. Yeah.
We never really, we didn't have a Wonder Woman movie. We didn't have any Spider-Man movies or any big Marvel movies in the theater. Unless I'm forgetting something. I know we had Superman and we had Batman.
Right.
But because all the Marvel stuff really started in the 90s, I would say.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so.
You
guys are lucky.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, you've got the Netflix series, which I definitely want to mention. It's the intro I gave you. You got Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist. Got the Defenders now, and Punisher real soon. So just overarching, I've really enjoyed that whole series. Loved what they've done, each one with their own different thing. Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist. I really liked what they did with the Defenders. Did you ever get a chance to go back and finish?
No,
Defend?
No. I'm trying to finish Jessica Jones.
Right.
Haven't even. I've stayed away from all the spoilers for the Defenders, but I'm hearing mixed reviews on it.
I liked it. Just what I felt is it feels like for Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, Luke Cage, it felt like they had two storylines and one was split for the first half of the season and the other for the second season. For example, Daredevil season two, the first half was the Punisher stuff. The second half was the Elektra stuff. For Defenders, it's less episodes. So it was like one storyline. And that was it. And then you were like, oh, man, you kind of want more. So, yeah, not to say anything about where it ends, because it doesn't even hint this way. But what I would love to see, and I said this on the pod back when I think Luke Cage first came out last year, I really would love to see just a Iron Fist and Luke Cage Heroes for Hire. I really like that comic book, so that's something I would love to see is that, and if they could work towards that. I know all of them have another season coming, right? Daredevil, Jessica Jones for sure. I'm pretty sure Luke Cage has another one, and Iron Fist is getting a second season, new showrunner, new director, because that was the one that had the most people disappointed in it. I liked it.
I did too. I mean, yeah. I knew who he was and everything. I didn't know the actor. I know who he is now, but I enjoyed the storyline. I liked it, but I think he needed more work on his fighting skills, because
right.
They threw Daredevil at us first, and that actor, Charlie Cox, man, fuck, dude, he was amazing.
Right
during all the fight scenes, and I was just, oh yeah, and even Luke Cage, I mean, even with the fighting he was doing, that actor, whatever his name is, but
Mike Coulter,
I was just like, come on. I wanted Netflix, I wanted Iron Fist to be that badass. I mean, it was badass, but it could have been better if right. But I kind of had that feeling that they just rushed that one to get out,
right.
But I don't know.
Yeah. To make it for Defenders. But, yeah, I think the most classic scene is from the first one, from Daredevil, episode two, the hallway fight. It's hard to top that. That was amazing. It was a no-cut hallway scene. That was incredible.
speaking of that scene, I was in New York Comic Con, and Kevin Smith was trying to get Walt Flanagan, one of the guy that runs the Secret Stash in Jersey. During the panel, he was telling him, if you need to watch Daredevil, because he knew that Walt was such a huge Daredevil fan. And Walt was kind of like, I don't know, I'll get to it whenever. And he's like, no, dude, you have to see it. And he goes, I'll just tell you this one scene. And he explained the hallway scene. And he explained it pretty much just blow for blow. Because he said he watched that scene over and over, and then while he was telling it, he started crying, like he started to tear up, and he was like, "That's how amazing it is!" And he was wiping the tears from his eyes. He said he couldn't believe it that finally a TV series did a Marvel character justice, and he was like, "Oh my God, it was amazing!" I was blown away too. I knew it was on. I knew who Daredevil was. I did like that movie. It was cheesy and stupid, but I did enjoy it. The series came on, and I was like, all right, cool, sweet. I'll give it a shot. And, oh, man, after I loved the first episode. I thought that was good. But when that fight scene in the hall, I was like, wow. Yeah. I couldn't believe it. And from then on, that show just took off. Second season was badass. I wasn't really that big a fan of Elektra, but I wanted more Punisher, but we're getting that next month, November 17th. So I can't. I know we were supposed to get it this month, but I don't know if it was because of Vegas why they pushed it back. If they did that for that reason, I understand. But right. Oh man, I can't wait! I cannot wait for Punisher. It's definitely gonna be one of my favorite TV shows. John Bernthal, he's an awesome actor. And he did such a good job as Frank Castle. And I'm just like, oh my God, we finally get an actual Punisher show. We had three Punisher movies, Dolph Lundgren with the first Punisher in 89. And then we got Thomas Jane and what's his name in Warzone? What was that actor's name?
In Warzone?
Was he Punisher? The guy that played?
I have that on DVR. Just real quick while I look that up. How would you rank the three movies?
I love, in the order I said it, Dolph Lundgren's Punisher, yep. Thomas Jane's, and then Warzone. I think, but out of those three Punisher movies, I thought Warzone was more like the comics because it brought in, it had that comic feel.
Right.
It had that Punisher, that actor that was Punisher. Someone's yelling at it or yelling at me.
Ray Stevenson.
He had the look of Punisher from the comic books. That's what I liked about it. And the bad guy that they brought into it. And it felt like an actual story that they lifted right off the comic books paper and put it into film form. I thought it wasn't the greatest Punisher movie, but I liked that it was it felt like you were watching a comic book, a live action comic book one. I mean, but all the movies that we've got, not all of them, but majority of them and most of them were all awesome. But for Punisher, I did like what they did with Warzone. I know it could have been a lot better. I don't know what happened between Thomas Jane and Marvel and everything, but I guess it was a sore subject. Someone brought it up to him at the Miss panel, and he didn't say anything about it. So, but.
Well, as far coming off of Punisher, it's hard to say where to go from there. I did want to mention The Gifted, the X-Men TV show that's going on right now. I don't know. Have you caught anything more than the first half?
No, that's all I've seen. I'm still far behind. Was there any from when you were a kid that you remember? And like you said, I know there wasn't much in the 80s, but...
Right. The Spider-Man animated series, that sticks out.
Because for...
With its theme song.
For as a kid, was that when I was younger, I had the Amazing Spider-Man TV series. That ran from 77 to 79. That was on CBS. It was what it was. I mean, Spider-Man is my favorite Marvel character, so I was happy to see a live-action Spider-Man. It's really cheesy, but for the 70s, that's all we got. So, and the other live-action Spider-Man was also on PBS, The Electric Company. I don't know if you've seen any of those, but I'm sure if you go on YouTube, you'll see them. But there was always it wasn't every episode of Electric Company. It was like every now and then they would show Spider-Man. He never talked or anything, but he just had his little comic bubbles, and you could see his spider sense and all that. And majority of that stuff was just learning how to be good and all that type of thing. But from what I remember of the TV show, the costume looked really bad, but as a little 6-year-old watching Spider-Man on TV, I was like, I was amazed. And, to see him climb the walls was cool, but, majority of that was, all just trick camera work. I mean, they actually had somebody, crawling up the wall there, but they kind of showed, like far back shots. So you really couldn't see the line that was pulling him up the wall, because it would show him crawling up, but when they showed like the real up close cheesy stuff, it was like just old school camera work where he was actually just crawling on the ground and they kind of just like cut and paste and put him on the wall. And I don't know, it looks cheesy. I mean, it's all on YouTube. If you guys haven't seen this, if you're interested in seeing the 70s Spider-Man TV show. It's funny, but like I said, as a little kid, I was blown away by it. Nicholas Hammond, he was Peter Parker, Spider-Man. Some of you old schoolers and some of you musical lovers might remember him as Friedrich. I want to say that's who he was in what the hell is that? The Sound of Music.
He was
one of those. Was that his name?
Wow, yeah.
I remember he was on Brady Bunch. He was Doug Simpson, the big man on campus. I'm trying to look up his... I can't find it, but yeah, I remember he was in Sound of Music.
Right. Did you ever see any of the Captain America TV show, or I don't know if it was like a TV movie they did? I did not until there's been a couple of documentaries floating around, I think Netflix, Amazon and whatnot, where they showed footage of it, and it was just like a guy seriously in a white motorcycle helmet, and he had like the shield was like, I don't know,
it looked like a, it was like plexiglass.
Yeah. And he seriously threw it like a frisbee. Like, it's incredible just to see it as a clip.
It was funny. I mean, I enjoyed it as a kid. But yeah, it was pretty bad. This was late 70s, 79, when that aired, and oh man, his outfit wasn't the best. For 70s, it was what it was. He had his little motorcycle, right, which we all loved, but his outfit, it looked like the Captain America outfit from the comic books. And his helmet, look, it was like just a regular motorcycle helmet with some, looked like painted on wings and the big A on the front. And his shield was, it was like a plexiglass shield with just some red rings around it and a blue star in the middle. But the only one I can remember is the very first episode, because that's when it explained how he became Captain America and all this. I don't remember him being like super enhanced or anything, but I haven't seen it. Last time I saw it is when it was on TV. Probably not when it originally aired. I saw reruns, but it was what it was. It was Captain America on TV. I was never really that big of a fan of Captain America anyway, but until after Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
I know I'm like super late to the party. I mean, Captain America, he was in the comics, and yeah, he was in Secret Wars and everything and the Avengers, but I was just never really that big of a fan of his. I was always like more of an Iron Man fan in the Avengers, but this TV show was what it was. Came out in 79, and who was the main guy in it? Reb Brown. that was the actor's name. He's still alive, so he was born in 48. You guys do the math. I don't know how old he is, but I had seen him in some other shows, but nothing this as far as superhero wise. He did the TV show. He came back and did it. It wasn't actually a series. It was more of just TV movies, because they did the first one in 79. The second one was they did two of them in 79, and I think that was it. He just did those two movies. It was, first one was just Captain America. The next one was Captain America 2, Death Too Soon. I do not remember this one. Maybe if I watched it again, I would remember. But as far as I can remember, I don't remember it at all. But yeah, I'm sure all those are on YouTube as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, I was just going to say, I was just trying to quickly look on Netflix to see if I could find that documentary. And while I couldn't, it's interesting. They've put up a live countdown clock. And as of us recording this right now, it's 6 days, 10 hours, 33 minutes and 55 seconds until Stranger Things season two.
Yeah, we still got a way. I was going to try to watch the first season again, but I probably just watched the last episode so I can remember how it ended, because I don't even remember.
Yeah.
Were you a fan of the animated Spider-Man, the 60s one, 67?
Oh, definitely. Loved that. That was a thing that definitely they had reruns for, and I seriously loved it. Yeah. Couldn't get enough.
Marky had the whole series on DVD somewhere. I don't know if he still has it. Maybe took it with him when he moved, but I've always loved it. I think out of all the animated Spider-Man stuff, I mean, there's a ton of new stuff now and it is good, but I always go back to this one. I mean, this one was awesome to me. Other than seeing a live action Spider-Man on TV, I had a cartoon that came on every day after school, and I remember I would rush home to watch this and just veg out over what it was. And then when the 80s rolled around, Saturday morning cartoons, we had the amazing Spider-Man, and I always liked that one because Stan Lee would always narrate the beginning, "Welcome, true believers," and then he'd go into his whole spiel about Spider-Man and the Excelsior at the end of each episode. But I've always loved it, of just the 60s Spider-Man. And I really liked it because how the bad guys looked in the comic books is what they put in this TV series with Magneto and not Magneto, Mysterio, Scorpion, Electro, Green Goblin, and Doc Ock and all that. I mean, that's what I loved about those. So I know we're going to get Scorpion in the next Spider-Man movie. And
right.
I know he's not going to look like this Scorpion, which I love the most out of all the different variation of Scorpions as throughout comic history as up to now. Cause he looks totally different now in the last issues that he was in. But I wonder I know it's good. They're going to go the CG route, the CGI route. I know that, but I hope they at least has a mask on or some kind of mask.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And I'm sure his tail is going to be CGI and all that. But just all I ask, if Marvel or Sony, if you guys are listening, please do it justice. Go back and look at the old Scorpions and kind of make it look like that. I know it's not going to be all rounded like the old school 60s one and in the comic books. I'm sure they'll probably add a point to it or something, but I don't know. I just don't want it to look all cheesy, because that's my favorite Spider-Man villain is Scorpion. They got Scorpion, then right after him is Green Goblin. But I don't know. But
right,
as far as this 60s Spider-Man TV series, it was amazing, as well as the Amazing Spider-Man in the 80s. I loved all those.
Right. Well, just want to make sure we touched on everything. I don't know if you had this in mind, but we can't forget The Walking Dead, of course.
They're not really superheroes, but...
Well, I mean, they're comic books, though, right? I mean, yeah. If that's what we're talking about, like...
Well, this was kind of more of just TV superhero.
Okay, show. Well, just real quick, let me ask you, and we can move on. You read the comics first before the TV series started, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I knew what it was before. Here's a question. When we went to that first panel, did you know it was a comic series, and did you know what it was?
I knew it was a comic series, but I didn't know anything about it. Like, I knew of, you know, Night of the Living Dead, things like that, and I was just assuming, so. But
because I remember when we were trying to figure out what we were gonna do the day of. You guys were all told, well, I'm gonna go do this, I'm gonna go do that, but that was all stuff later during the day. I just said, well, I'm going to the Walking Dead panel, and if you guys want to come, you can. I remember Joel; he was always Mr. Skeptical about everything. Like, oh yeah. Man, that sounds dumb. And but all of us went, and it was in a small room. It wasn't in Hall H or Ballroom 20. It was, I don't even remember. I just remember it was a smaller room, and we all got in. We all had good close seats, and just blown away with what they showed us. Before the first season started, all the actors, all the main players were up there, except for Daryl. He wasn't up there. We had Rick and Shane and all them up there, but didn't realize it was going to be such a big, huge phenomenon afterwards. And now you can't even get into the panel unless you sleep outside, and I ain't doing that no more. But
exactly.
I'm glad that we all got in and we got into the show, and the comic series is amazing. I love the whole black and white thing. Some people are like, well, it's all black and white. I don't like reading black and white comics. Well, then don't read it. I love it. If any of you guys, you can go back and just start. I started with the hard covered books when the first few, because I had missed the first run. Because I remember like going into comic book stores and just seeing The Walking Dead. And I was like, well, what is this? And I just kind of flipped through it, and I was like, oh, this is pretty sweet. But by then, they were already pretty much in full swing. So I went back and got the paper trade. I know paper trade is what I started with, and then I ended up just getting the hard-covered ones. And I'm just now, after I was all caught up, I did paper trade the first one, hardcovers. I remember when it got – the hard-covered ones came out once a year. And I was all caught up, and I was like, well, I didn't want to start buying single issues yet. But then one of the ladies that was helping me, it was at Comic-Con at the Image booth. She goes, well, this is the last paper trade. Read this, and then you should be caught up, and you can go start buying the single issues. So I did that. Now, I don't even know how many single issues I'm at now, because I'm fully caught up on the whole story. I just picked up the latest issue. I haven't read it yet. But I have it, and I am all caught up on that. And where the TV series is going right now, that happened a long time ago in the books.
All Out War?
Yeah, that happened a while ago. We've already had the next set of bad guys end.
Right.
And so we're about to get the next set after what's his nuts? Negan is still in the book. He's still in the story, but this is after his reign of terror, after his downfall. I don't know what they're going to do with this season, if they're going to do this whole season and then it's going to end it to where he doesn't have his – spoiler alert – that he doesn't have his power anymore, or are they going to drag it out another season? I have no idea.
Probably take him down. Well, they probably want to get moving, because every year they go – the more and more they have to pay their mains, their Ricks and everything. And I thought last year, because the show does try to do things differently, I thought we would lose for sure a Rick or a Daryl. I thought they were too big as actors to continue, but I guess not.
Nah, we already lost Glenn, so that's the biggest loss.
Right.
There's some more coming, but not until later. With out of the main people, Andrea just died not too long ago in the comic books.
The comics, okay.
Yeah, and she had died a couple seasons ago. That was actually a sad story. I mean, that was like the first comic book that ever put tears in my eyes when she died, because it was really sad. But we're not going to see that because she already died. So
yeah, exactly. But, do you remember how far the comic was when the first episode aired, like where the story was at in the comic?
I want to say, the prison, but I don't remember, dude. It was a while ago. How many seasons? What season are we? Seven?
Is it eight?
Seven, eight. Yeah, I see. 8 years ago? Dude, I don't remember. it was a while ago. I want to say the prison, but I don't remember. Seriously.
Well, let me give you one last fun question on The Walking Dead. We know the comic series could go on forever, but I don't know if the TV series can, unless they like switched out like all the original actors and got in like a whole new cast, unless they did something like that. I still just don't see it. It's got to end here somewhere, season 10, 11, 12, something like that. So what would you hope they do for like a final storyline? Would you want to see them get a cure or something? Or
I doubt there will be a cure. I would say, other than losing Rick, maybe Daryl. If anything, I would like to see Carl grow up to be the leader of somewhere, and Maggie and Glenn's child to be something, or at least older. I think Michonne, Maggie, and Carl, I would like to see them still be alive, and everyone else just either leave or something happens to them.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. But right now in the books, I kind of want Negan to get killed. But but then he's an awesome character in the comics, so it's kind of. I guess I'm sure he'll come to an end eventually, but not. I don't think he's going to end anytime soon. The people that are still alive in the books right now, other than Rick, Carl, Maggie, Michonne, Negan, Eugene. Out of everyone that you know from the show, those are the ones that are still alive.
Right.
But there's a bunch of it. Oh, Jesus, he's there. Aaron, we've seen them in the show already, and they've been in the comics for a while. They're still there. And there's some other people. The dude with the burned up face, the half of his face is burned up.
Yeah, yeah.
He's still in the books, and there's some other new characters.
Okay.
And they just introduced this new Mexican gal. I already forgot her name, but yeah, that's what's going on right now.
Yeah. I don't know if you noticed, but or if you have the DVR set, I'm sure, for Walking Dead, it's been recording all these little like behind the scenes, and like there was a special about their 100th episode and stuff like that. I haven't watched any of it yet, but it's like gathering up on the DVR.
Yeah, I've seen them on there. I just noticed them today. I haven't watched them yet.
Right. What else we got for comics? Comic TV shows. I'm sure we can cover everything.
The last one that I want to talk about is probably one of my favorites. I would say it was probably my favorite. I think this is the one that I watched from when it first aired all the way to the end, and then the little spin-off movies that they made. This was The Incredible Hulk.
Ah!
It came on, was it 79 or 78? Or, well, 77. I remember when it came on because, 78 is when it aired. It aired from 78 to 82, 82 episodes, 5 seasons. And then I remember when it was over, they did some movies like Death of the Incredible Hulk and The Trial. The movies were Incredible Hulk Returns, The Trial of the Incredible Hulk. That's when they brought in, Daredevil, Matt Murdock. He was a lawyer. And then The Death of the Incredible Hulk. I don't really remember that one too much. Maybe if I watch it again, I would. But I've always loved this series. It was cool. It was really majority of the episodes were like sad. I mean, it was just
the sad music.
We had David instead of Bruce Banner. It was David. His name was David Bruce Banner in this one. So, but it was a good show. We had Bill Bixby as David and Lou Ferrigno as the Hulk. No CGI, none of that. This was just green paint on Lou Ferrigno. If you guys don't know who he is, he's a bodybuilder. And I've always loved this show. It was just total cheesy 70s, 80s effects. But what I love the most about this was every time that David would change over to the Hulk. You could just see he'd start to get all angry. He would kneel down and crouch over him. And then when he'd look up at the camera, his eyes were all white. And then the music changed. And then all of a sudden, whatever clothes he was wearing would tear off. And then he'd start roaring and all this. I mean, it was such a fun show. And I remember the music in it is what always made it, the atmosphere made it either happy or sad or whatever. But it was just Dr. David Banner walking from place to place, getting into adventures. And there was this reporter that was always searching for him because he believed that David was still alive. But because in the first episode, they assumed he was dead. So that's why he was walking from place to place. So I've always loved it. I mean, it was funny. And one of the classic the scenes that everyone always laughs around about is when the Hulk was fighting a grizzly bear. It was actually a real bear that he was wrestling around with, but just like for close-ups, not when he threw it or anything. But it's funny. If you guys haven't seen that, just look up the Hulk grizzly bear on YouTube and just get a good laugh. But as a kid, I was, oh my God, I was blown away and amazed for what it is. But I always loved it. Not like you New Jacks today where you get the big giant CGI Hulk, which is amazing. I'm not hating on that. I loved it. I did love how he looked in that first Hulk movie, but the movie itself was, it was pretty bad. The second movie was better. I don't know why Ed Norton didn't want to continue. I think he was above it all. But Mark Ruffalo, he's good. I like him. So,
did you hear what happened with him and the whole Ragnarok screening thing?
Yeah, when he was live streaming, but then forgot to turn it off. And
yeah, so people didn't get to see, but they got to hear the entire movie.
No, they said they only heard like 10 minutes of it.
Oh, I thought they heard the entire movie.
No, they heard 10 minutes of it, and I think that's when he realized. Well, what I read, that's what they said. He realized it was on. I mean, yeah, that's nothing. Because they were all talking about, oh, is he going to get fired now? He's not getting fired.
Oh. He's fine.
Yeah, it wasn't. He didn't do it. If he did it like on purpose and held the camera and filmed the whole thing for everyone, yeah, okay. But it was just an accident.
Right.
But The Incredible Hulk, it was an awesome show, aired on CBS, and I loved it. It was just awesome goodness of 70s, 80s television. It came on Friday nights. I remember our Friday night was The Incredible Hulk and then The Dukes of Hazzard. So it was awesome. Friday, my older brother and I would sit there and watch both shows back to back. I remember watching The Incredible Hulk, and then when Dukes of Hazzard started, I had no idea what that was. My brother loved it just because of the Charger, the car. And
right.
Then I got sucked into that show and watched all that all the way to the end. Wasn't much of a fan of the Coy and Vance when Bo and Luke were gone for a while, but when Bo and Luke came back is when I started watching the show again. But I know Dukes of Hazzard isn't a comic, but it was a couple dumb movies. It did have an animated series, and it's got its place in pop culture. Not so much now, because this, not to get political with the Confederate flag thing. I remember seeing a model of the General Lee, and I was just looking at the box. But on the top, the Confederate flag wasn't on there. And I was like, well, that's dumb. And the guy in the model shop was like, what? I said, there's no Confederate flag on it. I said, Is it just not on the picture, or is it not? Does the decal not come with this at all? He's like, ooh, I don't know. He goes, I never really noticed that. I said, here, look at the picture. He looked at it. He goes, it isn't on there. I said, then nobody wants the General Lee without the Confederate flag on it. I wasn't going to buy it, but I just noticed it when I was looking at it. But I have a General Lee somewhere. I know I had the Hot Wheel and I had a bigger car. I remember Kyle watching the movie, and he loved the scene when they jumped the General Lee onto the freeway. That's like the only good part in that whole movie. The rest of the movie was stupid. But he was fascinated with that. He always liked cars, so he's got a General Lee somewhere in his toys. But yeah, back to comic book movies, TV shows. Incredible Hulk, awesome series. I love it. I would probably say that's I love Spider-Man, but I think Incredible Hulk is what I watched from beginning to end with the series. Spider-Man I only caught off and on because it came on a night where it was a school night. So I could only catch it every now and then. I've seen the whole series by now, but I couldn't catch it when it was airing. Incredible Hulk came on Friday nights, and I was able to watch that all the way through its whole run. So I'd probably say that was my favorite growing up.
Right. Yeah, I guess I'll just give, lastly, a quick shout out to cartoons that kind of had a comic background, and the cartoons kind of even outpaced the comic, but Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and DuckTales, and DuckTales just returned, and it's cool because I heard their inspiration for bringing it back was to go back to the original Uncle Scrooge and Donald Duck comics in those adventures, which are inspired a lot of like Indiana Jones and stuff like that. So, yeah, I don't know if you've caught any of that, but it's worth checking out. They did a good job with the new series.
I never even seen the old series. I think I was I was out skateboarding, so I don't know, but I know what it is, and they have their place. As far as animated stuff, I think the last animated show that I really got into was Batman, the animated series. I loved that, and I also love that movie, The Mask of the Phantasm. I thought that was awesome. But right now, animation is off and on whenever I see. I think the last thing I watched was The Killing Joke. I bought that one on Blu-ray. I watched that, and then I watched The Dark Return of the Dark, or The Dark Knight Returns. Whatever the Frank Miller one was, I bought that one and I watched those. And I've noticed that Marvel has a lot of animated stuff on Netflix. And from what I hear, all those are good.
Yeah.
And a lot of DC fans are saying a lot of the DC fans are saying that the animated stuff is a million times better than the movies. So I've only seen the Batman and the Joker one. So I want to check out the rest.
Right. Yeah, that Marvel Disney XD stuff, I've recorded a bunch of them, but I have yet to dig into them. Marvel's Spider-Man and the Spider-Man, they're trying to make him a lot more like the Spider-Man from Spider-Man Homecoming. And then Marvel's Avengers, they're doing Secret Wars, and they've done, it looks like, 10 episodes. I've DVR'd them, but I have yet to dig into it, but yeah, it looks like they're doing a pretty good job with it.
Is it the original Secret Wars? I know there's this new Secret Wars that they're doing.
I think it's own Secret Wars. I think there was the original Secret Wars and then Secret Wars 2 like last year or the year before. I can't remember now, but I think it's just its own new take. And they're just calling it Secret Wars.
All right, I have to check those out. But
yeah,
I want them to make a movie, live action Secret Wars. But with all these different franchises owned by everyone else, I think it'll be kind of hard You got Sony's got Spider-Man, Fox has X-Men, and all that. I mean, just hand them. Yeah. I know they're not going to. I mean, they're not going to hand them all over back to Marvel Studios, but.
Yeah, no way.
yeah. I mean, after Homecoming did really good for them, so they're keeping that. Not Wonder Woman. I guess Logan wasn't really. I don't know if there would be another story spinning off of that one, but who knows? I don't know. We'll know. But I'm as a fan, I just want Marvel Studios to get all of it back. So
yes,
make Marvel great again.
Exactly.
So, because Fox, you need to hand over X-Men and who else they got? Fantastic Four. Hand them over because you didn't do a good job at all. This new X-Men, I mean, the X-Men animated series, I remember in the 80s, I thought that was cool. But I don't know. I don't know what's coming. I know we're continuing with the first class guys, so hopefully we can get better. Did you like Apocalypse?
I thought it was all right. It was like okay.
Yeah.
You know, not great, but okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what's to come. I know they got another one coming and
New Mutants. Like we were talking last episode.
Yeah, we'll see. But as far as for TV, I think that was it. Those were all the main ones that that I always watched and that I still watch when they come on. I have every season of Smallville. I don't have them. I just bought the DVDs. I don't have Blu-rays. I guess now DVD's fine. I don't need a Blu-ray. But if someone wants to get me the Blu-ray set, you can. But yeah, Smallville, awesome show. Incredible Hulk, Spider-Man, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Punisher, Daredevil. Everything else we've talked about, just awesome to us. Stuff we watched as kids,
and still watching now.
Yeah, I mean, we're kids and middle age, and I don't know. I assume we're in the middle age range still.
Oh yeah. But
as a kids, teenagers, and now we're fathers, and we share what we love with our children. I mean, I shared it with all four of mine, and. You share with Jade, and I as well, and you share. You know all our kids, and we know Jade, so we're all one family, and that's what counts. Everybody, just be good to your families and spread the love with comics, sci-fi, action, superheroes, and what have you. So, I think that's it. Unless you got anything else?
No, just. Always fun to do these little mini-sodes, and I'll leave you with Make Mine Marvel.
Excelsior!